I wanna dance like David. I wanna faith like Paul. I wanna sing like Silas, tearing down the prison walls. I wanna face that fire, it won't burn me though. God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I wanna walk like Moses, right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land, no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, it can't take out my faith. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the mountain, moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the heaven seated, undefeated, highest of names. That's who I praise. Hey, that's who I praise. That's who I praise. I want a gift like Mary. I wanna break my vase. I wanna sleep like Daniel, even in a lion's cave. I'm gonna get that promise, just like Jericho. Yeah, I know what I'll make it for. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the mountain, moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the heaven. Like Jesus, that kind of grace. I wanna live like I've got no more precious time to waste. I'm gonna give him glory with all my things, 'cause there's no greater, stronger, higher name, and that's who I praise.
Well, good morning, 11 o'clockers, my New Life family. You may not know me. My name is Larry. I've only been coming here since 1990. I sit right there at the 9:30 for the last 34 years, but I like seeing my New Life family from 11 o'clock. And since it is a celebration and we do have family, I am celebrating four generations of my family here worshiping at New Life. Some of you might know my daughter, Joanna. You might know her. My grandson, Brandon, and my great-grandson, Walter. So I'm so glad you're here, and thank you for the people that are waiting out on the patio. We did get some sun, and thank you for the people watching online. We love you too, and we're going to hear how many people online do actually watch us every year. So here's my daughter, Joanna.
Actually, oh, excuse grandson,
me. My grandson.
Hello, I'm Brandon, or also known as Joanna's son or Walter's dad. I've been coming here since 1994. It's been awesome. And Walter, how many years have you come to church?
Two.
Two, yeah. Good job. Good job. If this is your first Sunday, what a great Sunday to be here. You can get connected in the lobby or the patio at Connection Central.
Oh, what a great day. I've just been in tears all morning, happy tears of just remembering and just celebrating everybody's testimony of just how good God is. And in the last 75 years, which is just incredible, but it is such a blessing to worship here with my family and just to be part of yours. And I would just love to say a blessing this morning over the service. So, Heavenly Father, we love you. We just thank you for what you have done in the last 75 years here at New Life. But God, what you have done in the hearts of everyone, God, we trust you. God, we thank you for the stories of restoration, God, that you are our healer, you are our hope. So God, we just give you this service. We love you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
O God, your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. You made the earth, and it continues to tell of your majesty. May our mouths overflow with praise. May we sing of your righteousness. We live that we would praise you, Lord. Psalm 119. This morning, we gather with gratitude and expectation. We have come together to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit corporately with all our heart. All generations gathered in the Lord's house, where we will share a meal to remember Christ's sacrifice, and we will meditate on the Word of God, because this is what the family of God looks like. A people who testify to the Lord's faithfulness through time. O God, your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. You made the earth, and it continues to tell of your majesty. May our mouths overflow with praise. May we sing of your righteousness. We live that we would praise you, Lord. Psalm 119. As we prepare to worship, stand if you are able and greet your neighbor with a holy hug or high five. Encourage each other and prepare to praise with heart, mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you. for your love that endures forever and ever and ever and ever. God, we thank you that you are unchanging, that your faithfulness has gone before us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, we love you so much. God, we just take a moment just to say thank you for all of the things that you have done in our life and in our church and in our community. We thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness. We pray that our worship this morning has been a pleasing aroma to you and that you have been blessed by it, God, because it is all for you and because of you. And so we place the rest of this service at your feet, Lord. We pray that you are honored by it. You are so, so worthy of everything that we could offer you. We love you and we thank you. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray this morning. Amen. You can have a seat. We are going to continue in that spirit of worship, that spirit of saying, God, everything I have is from you. You have first place in my heart by inviting the ushers forward to receive our tithes and offerings today. Man, I have just been reminded over the last few weeks as we've been preparing for this service, man, how faithful God has been down throughout the years. And it is just amazing to see the way that the church from generation to generation, different groups of people who have called this place home, have just given sacrificially in order to see God's kingdom come here on the Central Coast as it is in heaven, and he's not done yet. And so just thank you so much to those of you who do partner with what God is doing here on New Life, specifically financially, because that is a sacrifice, and God is multiplying it and blessing it and using it for his glory. So thank you so much. In case you didn't know, we are celebrating 75 years of ministry here at New Life, and all the other names that came before New Life. Yes, can you believe it? That's amazing. Here, there are a few different ways that we would love for you to engage and celebrate with us. First of all, after service on the patio, there's popcorn and candy and cupcakes and lemonade, all things that say happy birthday. So join us for that. Also, if you have not perused our little museum of sorts out in the lobby, there's lots of fun, just memories and just testimony of God's faithfulness over the years in the lobby. So make sure you look at that. If you haven't already taken your Been Here Since picture with your what year you started coming to New Life, make sure you do that today. You can still submit it. We're going to, in the middle of the lobby, there's a big 7-5, and that is where all the pictures are up, so you can go find your picture if you've already taken it. And if not, you can take it. We're going to keep that up until Advent, so we're going to continue to add to it. So if you haven't taken a picture, do so today, and you'll see it up next week. And also in the hallway right here on this side of the building, there is a timeline that has all like the history of New Life with pictures and dates. And so we would love if you haven't already to sign your name somewhere on that timeline, sign your family's name, just maybe in the general vicinity of when you started coming to New Life. It's just been so cool. We had that banner out here for our 70th 5 years ago. And just to go back and look and see all the names that are already on there and then the new names that are also joining. It's just such a blessing to be a part of what God is doing. So we are just going to continue to celebrate God's faithfulness this morning.
We are celebrating 75 years of ministry on the Central Coast. We're celebrating God's faithfulness and we're telling our story. It all began in the 1940s. When two Nazarene women, Nettie Neff and Marion Hammond, pictured here from Southern California, took an interest in a small community church in Grover Beach that had no pastor. They helped it grow to a place where it was ready for a full-time pastor, and they would do life with their neighborhood and their families and their friends. Eventually, they'd have pastors like Reverend Ferrier and a pastor who still worships with us today, Richard Sharn. And they would lead the church through this season of ministry. They were figuring it out, but they were a people committed to holiness unto the Lord. Eventually, the church would outgrow the building on Ramona Street and they would move over to 18th and Newport in 1966. There, Reverend Brunson would pastor the church. They soon would outgrow the 160-seat auditorium, and in 1979, a new 300-seat auditorium was built and dedicated. A young and fresh out of seminary pastor, Larry Pitcher, would come lead this congregation, and again, they would outgrow the space and seek a new location.
Called Yes, Lord, Yes, and it's on the chorus sheet on the inside of your bulletin. Now let's all sing it together.
May 25th, 1986. Each of our previous church locations, Ramona and Oak Park Boulevard, are still worshiped in on Sundays today. But God knew what He was doing for our congregation, and He provided something that was beyond what we could have hoped or dreamed for, as He usually exceeds our expectations. The sermon you're about to hear is from Pastor Pitcher at the groundbreaking of this very location where we worship today, the Hill at James Way.
I've found in teaching and being involved in the Church of Jesus Christ that there are times when a faith factor is very high and God does amazing things. I think back you'll have to excuse me. It's a time to get emotional, I guess. But I think back about a year and a half ago, and how many of us really thought when we took that miracle offering that we would raise enough money to buy this property? Thank all two of you, yes. But you know, most of us thought, well, it'd be wonderful if we raise enough to get going, but how many of us thought we would be able to take an offering in cash of $160,000 that day? But it's exciting to see what God can do. And I think He wants to do the same today at this threshold of faith upon which we stand. And we need to be careful about pushing too hard, but we need to be careful about not giving God enough room to operate and do another miracle in our midst. It was a day similar to today, and I relate to what was going on in the life of Jesus. And we read on in chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard it, He withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place by Himself. And when the multitudes heard of this, they followed Him on foot from the cities. And when He came out, He saw a great multitude, and He felt compassion for them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to Him, saying, "The place is desolate, and the time is already past, so send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And He said, "Bring them here to Me." And ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, He blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples, in turn, gave to the multitudes. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. And there were about 5,000 men who ate, aside from the women and the children. Little is much when God is in it. When we'll take what little resources we have and give it to the Lord, He'll use it, and He'll multiply it. And it also tells me, above all, that when we do that, when we share what we have with others, the Lord not only takes it, but when He's done, He has a lot more than when He started. And I think that He wants to do that with our church. It was a number of years ago, and I don't share these kind of things, that often. But it was a number of years ago, as most of you are aware, that Martin Luther King, as he gave that tremendous speech, at the end of the speech, he said, "I've been to the mountain. I've seen the promised land." And as I was studying this parable, as I was studying this miracle, the Lord seemed to tell me, "Larry, You've seen the vision, and I want to do some great things in and through that congregation or any congregation that will step out in faith and just take the word. And I believe very strongly, and you know me by now, that I don't throw numbers out lightly, but I believe the Lord wants to reach 5,000 people through the church on His hill. I believe that. And I know some of you may think I'm crazy, but friends, if He can reach 1,000 people through a congregation down there in a building as small as that is, He can reach 5,000 no matter how many services or no matter what it takes up in this area. And that's just the beginning of what God wants to do. But it will only happen if we are willing to take the fish that we have, to take the resources that we have and lay them in the Master's hand, and then step out in faith. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take what God has given you and just let Him multiply it? I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Are you?
They were ready, and the Lord responded by blessing this congregation with an Easter surprise, a resurrection of sorts. On Easter Sunday, April of 1987, the church at Jamesway opened, and it would have a new name, New Life Community Church of the Nazarene in Pismo Beach. Pastor Larry would lead the church for a few more years until 1993, when Pastor Ron Salisbury came from Lancaster, California, to pastor New Life.
All of us have a calling. All of us are called to ministry regardless of what we do, because God has called you to be a priest. We're no different, I just have a different gift. In fact, it's weird to me that pastor is really a function in the church and a spiritual gift, but we've made it a title. Pastor Ron. I mean, we don't do that for other spiritual gifts. I mean, you don't hear someone saying, "Hey, Edification Eddie." You know. We don't do that, you know. We make pastor a title, and it's okay. I don't mind. I like it. It's affectionate and respectful and all that stuff, but there's no difference between me being faithful in my calling and using my gifts as you being faithful in your calling and using your gifts.
The church continued to grow, buying property near the post office and building a new youth center. Today, that space serves our students and our community, as the community center alone this year has served over 35,000 people on the Central Coast. Talk about God exceeding our expectations. In this season of ministry at New Life, many families and individuals gave to the kingdom of God, and the church continued to grow. No one was a bystander, and people used their gifts for the kingdom's sake. In July of 2017, Pastor David Hutsko, along with his family, moved from Michigan to come to the Central Coast of California to pastor New Life into its next and present season.
It's because of what Jesus has done in us. What if that people who've also felt the division of our country, who also felt lonely, would all of a sudden ask, is there something greater to believe in? Is there something more to this life? Is there something more that I can place my hope in? And we got to say yes, and His name is Jesus.
And that's who we are. We tell people about Jesus. This is New Life. After 75 years, we are still pointing people towards the risen Christ. We're pointing people towards a new way. And, well, we're certainly having some fun while we do it. But we can seriously testify to the fact that God is good.
That's what we want New Life to be about. To be a place where people can come and find what it means to join the family. That we're a family that's always looking to have an empty seat. to invite someone else into this. Invite someone else to come and learn where our origin story comes from. To know how to go a little bit deeper with God. That's the mission of creation, is for us to know that we play a role. God invites us to play a role, to continue to spread his kingdom through us. And it starts by knowing where we came from.
Your will be done. Say everything you think. Tell him how you feel. Tell him it should have been done yesterday. Whatever it is. But our prayers should always include, and we should mean it, but your will be done. Because God will be exalted amongst the nations. God will be exalted in all of the earth. And we want to be a people who are ready to fall on our knees and to worship him when he comes.
This is the gospel according to Jesus right here. Are you ready? From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This was the gospel according to Jesus.
This is what heaven on earth looks like. It's God's people, clothed in love, refusing to let the world rob them of their peace and their thankfulness. It's forgiving one another and being radically inclusive, making room for more and more people in this big, eclectic family, just doing their best to live in harmony. That is what heaven on earth looks like.
Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Praise be to God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you for 75 years. I can't wait to see what 100 looks like.
We've got some praise. Hallelujah. He is so good. He is so, so good. I want to take just a moment to honor a few people. Reverend Richard Sharn, would you stand? Pastor Larry, would you stand? Pastor Dave Vasquez, would you stand? And Kathy Salisbury, would you stand as we honor so many leaders that have gone before? It's been so good to think back. It's so good to remember. But I don't want you to miss something as we hear those words and as that story is told. I think it's easy sometimes. It's easy sometimes to find ourselves thinking that somehow this was all easy. That somehow this is just simple. That somehow, of course, God did this. I want to remind you of some other things. I mean, that was our highlight reel. But I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, shifting locations is incredibly challenging. And so the fact that we began in one location, then we changed to another location, and then we changed again to this location. And God was faithful again and again and again. I don't want us to take that for granted. I don't want us to take it for granted that we had an earthquake here and those windows that were up there that now are covered, shattered, and that's where we get this cross from and the cross out in the, cross out in the lobby from. And I just want to remind us that God has continued to be faithful. I want to remind us that it takes resources to build buildings. And yet today, we stand here today because of the faithful, sacrificial giving of those who have gone before us. And we steward the resources of today debt-free from our buildings because people chose to give. They chose to sacrificially give so that our generation could do the ministry that we can do. I want to remind us that leadership change is incredibly challenging. And yet we have tenure after tenure of lead pastor, which isn't common, that we see God's faithfulness happen again and again. And then in 2020, to navigate COVID and to navigate all the complexities of that particular season and to see today us celebrate God's faithfulness, to see us proclaim that, you know what? We are still here and we are still standing, and it is nothing short of a miracle. Because I just saw an article the other day of a church in San Francisco that once had incredible days in the 1950s, and yet today is just opening their doors to secular events. and the gospel isn't being preached. And here's what you also need to know. That every day in the United States of America, sorry, not every day, every year in the United States of America, 4,500 churches shutter their doors. 4,500 churches close. 4,500 churches do not have the capacity or the finances or the people coming and gathering in order to keep their doors open. And that means that there are 4,500 locations every single year in the United States of America where the gospel is not proclaimed at the same level as it once was. You think, well, but we're planting churches, and we are. Throughout America, we are planting churches, but the lifespan of a brand new church is only 10 years on average. And here's what you need to know about us. The lifespan of old churches like us, they tend to die between 70 and 100 years. I don't want us to miss the miracle. And I don't want us to get complacent. And I don't want us to think that somehow this is just easy and normal. Because we know from Scripture that even in great days, there will always be challenges. And even when there's things that are happening and God is moving, there will still be things that are gonna push against the gospel and push against the kingdom of God and push against the things that God wants to do. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Pastor Paul is writing to his student Timothy, and he's reminding Timothy of the difficult things that are happening. Paul is actually most likely awaiting some type of not only imprisonment, but execution in his future. And at the same time, Timothy is experiencing a movement of God. He's also experiencing some frustration about what's happening in the life of the church. And Paul, in one of his pastoral letters, pens this letter to Timothy. And the Lord gave me this message, and he gave me this specific passage about 3 months ago when I knew that we were gonna be gathering in this space. And I pray that you would not only hear it as a letter from Paul to Timothy, but you would hear it as a letter from Paul to us. Hear the word of the Lord. This is Paul speaking. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I love how Paul opens up this particular portion of the text. It's with an affectionate prayer. But what I don't want you to miss in this text is that he wasn't just being sentimental. He wasn't simply just praying a prayer that he was hoping, oh, I hope this encourages Timothy a little bit. These weren't just sweet thoughts. Paul was reminding Timothy of the ministry of prayer, that sometimes you are gonna wake up and you're gonna feel like praying, and sometimes you're gonna wake up and you're not gonna feel like praying. Sometimes you're going to ease yourself and you're gonna see God moving along, and it's gonna feel like, man, you're just in the current of what God is doing and you're flowing. And other times it's gonna feel like you are kind of marching upstream and every wave is knocking you back and every two steps forward is one step back. And wherever you find yourself, that you would know that there are individuals who have taken up the mantle of the ministry and the work of prayer. And I gotta ask us, church, are we the type of people that when we look out into our community, and when we look at our schools and we drive by the places in this town and we talk to our neighbors and we go into the businesses of those who own businesses in this area, when we meet people on the street, are we engaged in the ministry of prayer and are we crying out with affection, God, I am praying for these people that they might come to know you? Am I praying that God might move in our community? Do I get up in the morning and when I feel like it and when I don't, I fall on my face and I fall on my knees and I say, God, I want you to move in this place. We didn't build these buildings just to house a bunch of already believers. We built these buildings to be a sending point into our community, to be a ministry of prayer, to be a place of reconciliation between the Almighty God and people in his creation. That is what Paul is reminding Timothy, that he is praying, that Timothy is not alone in this, that there are going to be hard days and there's going to be great days, but regardless, there is somebody praying with affection for him. And then there's a portion of this passage that if you've heard it 100 times, I think we skip over. I think we immediately go to the younger generation. We immediately go to Timothy. And we miss what Paul says about Timothy's faith heritage. I think we miss the fact that Paul first reminds Timothy of his roots. If you're reading the text or you're reading along with me, he reminds him that the same faith that was in his grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, he is persuaded that that same faith is in him also. And we don't know what Lois's and Eunice's faith looked like. We don't know what the relationship with God looked like. We don't know what God did through them or with them or for them, but we know this, it was worth remembering. It was worth pointing out. It was worth anchoring in. It was worth the time to pause and say, hold on a second. God did something great in the past, and I am persuaded and I believe that God is going to do something great in you also. And so I ask us this question today, church. Are we passing on a faith worth remembering? Are we passing on a faith that they're gonna talk about generations from now? Are we passing on a faith that when little Walter, who is 2 years old, is all of a sudden 45, that he is able to declare the same faith that was in my great-grandfather Larry and in my mother Joanna and in my dad Brandon, that same faith is in me also? Are we passing on a faith that will be remembered? Now, some of you might be thinking today, hey, I don't have that. I don't have that faith lineage. Guess what? It begins with you. It begins with you. So that generations from now, somebody will point to you and they may not even remember your name, but they will say, my great, 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 how many ever back? Grandfather or grandmother, they had an encounter with Jesus Christ and the trajectory of our family line was changed forever. Our lives were changed forever. Amen, amen. So let's celebrate a little bit. Let me tell you what is happening right now in our current midst. Now, over the last year, we received 1,539 email prayer requests. And those prayer requests are prayed for every single week by a prayer team. They gather around those prayer requests and they lift up those concerns to the Lord. And with affection and diligence and ministry, they do the work of prayer, but they are not alone. The staff lifts up those prayer requests in prayer, but that's not enough. We need every single one of us praying with affection and engaged in the work of prayer, in the ministry of prayer. As you heard on the video, I think the exact number is that in the last year, over 34,286 individuals were served at the pantry. Over 34,286 individuals who walked through our pantry and were treated with dignity and care, that were able to pick out the food that was best for their family, that weren't treated as if somehow they were a problem or something that needed to be solved or fixed, but were treated with compassion and care and prayed over, whether it was physically prayed over or whether it was in advance, that we said, God, whoever you bring through our doors today, we want to greet them with the love and compassion and provision of Jesus. 34,286 individuals. This next one's kind of crazy because there's so many things out of 2020 and COVID that were frustrating and were heartache and that I still grieve at some level.
But over the last year, over 10,000 people have viewed our YouTube live stream on a Sunday morning. Over 10,000 individuals that the gospel went into their homes. Over 10,000 plus individuals who were able to have access to the kingdom of God and have access to what God is doing here at New Life from all over the world. And God took something that was difficult and challenging like COVID in 2020, and he's done something incredible. And guess what? His word and his faithfulness goes forward. And last but not least, in the last 2 years, 208 individuals have been baptized as a declaration that Jesus is Lord of their life. 208 individuals who have moved from death to life. 208 individuals who are now living as a new creation, and what is true of Jesus is true of them. And so it's so easy to pause and be like, hey, that's so good. That's so awesome. Like, look what God has done. But again, I think what Pastor Paul would say to Timothy, or what he was saying to Timothy and what he is saying to us, is that guess what? God's not stopping. We can rekindle, or we can fan the flame that God has placed in us. Now, I know that many of you have been down on to our coast and on our beach, and you've built a bonfire. And if you go to our beach at, like, you know, 7 o'clock at night, you're probably going to be able to build a bonfire pretty easily because the winds have died down and you can dig your hole and you can pretty much get that kindling going right away. But try to build a bonfire at 4 p.m. on our beach. And if you've ever done it, you know that those winds keep coming and they keep on trying to blow that fire out. And so what's necessary is for somebody to dig down a hole and get that kindling together and to begin to blow that kindling so that it ignites that kindling. And then you can begin to put wood on the fire and allow it to thrive. I love that imagery. Because in that imagery is a reminder that God doesn't just simply move. He moves in people who want him to move and work with him. You don't just simply sit there and say, all right, God, I'm going to sit here and you just go do your work. No, you get up and you start doing the challenging at times and the rewarding at times, difficult kingdom work, and you fan the flame of what God is doing and you see it ignite and you see lives begin to transform, and then you get a front row seat to the kingdom of God coming to earth as it is in heaven. Gordon D. Fee reminds us of something really important here. If the Holy Spirit can be quenched, it can also be fanned into flame. And we know, as a congregation that lives and makes its home in the ninth most post-Christian area in the nation, we know it's going to be really easy to allow ourselves to simply just quench the Spirit. It's easy for us to allow ourselves to see what's going on and be frustrated or throw up our hands and say, God, how can you work? And so the second question I have for you this morning is, what spirit will you fan into flame? Because if you didn't notice in this text, there are two different spirits. There's a spirit of timidity and fear, and there's the Spirit of God. And you will fan into flame one of those. And the question is, which one will you fan into flame? Because again, it's going to be really easy for you to fan into flame a spirit of timidity and fear, because you're going to look around at our culture and you're going to look at the things that we're up against. And I can just be honest with you. Sometimes I look at all of our facilities, which I'm so grateful that past generations have built, but I look at the future. I'm like, God, how are we going to steward all of this for your glory? What's this going to look like? How are we going to care for it? And I look at our area as it continues to grow, and I'm saying, God, how are people who want nothing to do with God and nothing to do with spirituality, how are you going to pierce their hearts? And what is the gospel going to look like as we preach it and proclaim it and live it out? And how do we enter into homes of people and build friendships with people who will never walk through our doors on a Sunday morning, and they don't even know that they're living less than fully alive. And we have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. God, what will it look like for us not to fan in the flame of a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear and simply just go, well, I don't know what God can do about that. I don't know how he's going to solve this one. Or will we be a people who look to the past and say, look what God did. And we look to the present and say, look what God is doing. And we look with expectation and hope. And we get down on our knees close to that fire. And we begin to blow on that fire and fan into flame what God wants to do in this next season. That we're not satisfied simply telling stories of what God has done, but we want to tell stories of what God is doing and is going to do in the future. That we walk with an authority and a confidence in who God is and what God is doing. Because when you fan into flame the Spirit of God, three things, Paul said, are going to happen. And he switches voices here from talking just about Timothy to talking about us. All of us, himself, Timothy, and the future church. And he says this, that if you fan this into the flame, here's what's going to happen, that you are going to have a spirit of power, and you are going to have a spirit of love, and you are going to have a spirit of self-discipline. And so we know that it's not just a Timothy gift here. This transition reminds us of two things. One, it says, Paul says when he laid his hands on Timothy, some theologians, did you know that theologians argue? Some theologians would say that when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, that he was given a specific spiritual gift. And they would argue, hey, maybe it was the gift of teaching or preaching or leadership. But most theologians actually would say, because of the context, and Paul says he lays his hands on Timothy, that it was not that, but it was simply the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because you see that represented throughout Scripture and throughout historical documents of the early church. That when the elders would lay their hands on people, when people would proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the elders would lay hand, that the Spirit of God would come upon people, and it would fill those individuals with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is not just a word of a specific gift for Timothy, it is a word for every single believer, that when the Spirit of God comes upon us, when the Spirit of God fills us, he fills us so that we might have power, so that we might love like nobody else loves, and that we might have self-discipline. So what does that mean? It means that we as the church can walk in the authority and with confidence and the power of Jesus' Spirit that lives within us. That we don't have to be timid, that we don't have to be concerned when we see culture going a particular way, that we don't have to be concerned about who's in the White House. Can I get an amen? We don't have to be concerned about what's happening in this world. Yes, may it be challenging, may it be difficult, it might be. But we don't walk around here as people on their own. We walk around this earth as people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We walk around with authority. We walk around with conviction. We walk around with the truth. And we get to declare that this is God's kingdom, and we are citizens of that kingdom. And there is nothing that is going to change that. That we would have a spirit of power, that we would have a spirit of love. That it doesn't matter if you think like me, act like me, or believe like me. That when I interact with you, I see you as one who was created in God's image. And I love and I forgive at the same level that I have been loved and forgiven. I don't do that on my own. It's because I have experienced the lavish, unconditional, radical love of God that was sacrificial to the point of laying down his life for me and for you. And I love with that same love. And three, that we would have self-discipline. Some of you are like, ooh, I don't know if I like that one. Let me give you a very Nazarene word for self-discipline. Holiness. That we would be a holy people. Not, hey, we think we're better than everybody holy. A holy people because we have been so filled with God's love. A holy people because we have been set apart. A holy people because we have been filled with the Spirit. A holy people because what comes out of our mouths and the thoughts that happen in our minds and the actions of our hands and our lives reflect our Heavenly Father. That when people see us, they see Jesus. That we would be a holy people. God's not done with us yet. After 75 years, he's just getting started. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And from its beginning, one way that we have been reminded of God's promise and his faithfulness, and one way that we have been reminded that God is with us, and one way that we have been filled up again and again and again, is through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to invite those that are going to be assisting us to begin taking their places, and Reverend Sharon's going to come and play for us during this specific time. But as you come today, I want you to come as someone who is ready to receive what God has for them. As someone who says, I can't do this on my own. On my own, I will have a spirit of timidity. On my own, I will have a spirit of fear. But under the authority and the promise and the faithfulness of Jesus's life, death, resurrection, and second coming, I will walk with power. I will walk with love. And I walk in holiness. And so as you dismiss yourself in a moment, you're going to dismiss yourself from the left and return to your right. We'll start with the front and move to the back. You'll come forward and you'll receive the elements. And then once everybody has been served and they're back in their seats, I'll come back up and I'll lead us through the liturgy of communion. I just pray this would be a time of reflection, a time where it wouldn't be just taking communion for another time, or it wouldn't just simply be the Eucharist for the Eucharist's sake, but it would be a time where you would fan into flame the Spirit of God that is within you. The table has been set. The invitation has been made. Come and receive and fan in the flame the Spirit of God in you. Thank you. final few are being served, I wanted you to reflect on a couple of things. First, I want you to reflect on what Jesus has done for you. Take a moment. Remember not only who you were, but maybe sometimes more importantly for me at least, is to think about who I could have been had Jesus not rescued me. Where would I be without the love and grace and forgiveness of Jesus? The second thing I want you to think about, I want you to think about somebody that you know that their life has also been transformed. Just have a moment of gratitude. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a spouse. Take a moment and be filled with gratitude for the transformation that Jesus has made in their life. And then last but not least, I want you to think about some of the chairs that have nobody sitting in them right now around you. And I want you to begin to pray for the person who will maybe subtly sneak into that chair one day. They'll come here because they have maybe tried everything else, or maybe they've gave up on God a long time ago, but they're willing to give him another shot. Maybe they're coming here because they're experiencing heartache or frustration. Maybe they're coming because you invited them. Maybe they're coming because they just didn't know where else to go in their time of need. And my prayer is that there will be somebody in the future that will be sitting in one of these chairs, and they will experience the same life transformation that Jesus has made in your life, but they will experience it in theirs. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you came with a friend, or someone invited you, said we're doing this kind of 75th thing, come and see. If that is you, then I want you to know, the reason we have this meal is not for nostalgia's sake. The reason we have this meal is because God loved you and God loved me so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And Jesus, the Son of God, was raised to new life, and he defeated and conquered sin and death. And the reason we are here today is because each one of us has found new life in him. And if you choose to believe in Jesus as Lord, he will lead you to new life as well. He knew it wouldn't be easy. He knew it'd be challenging. And so on the night that Jesus would be betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Take and eat and remember Jesus' sacrifice for you and me. And after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup represents the new covenant that will be made through my shed blood. Take and drink in remembrance of me. He says this, for whenever you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you proclaim God's faithfulness, his goodness, until he comes again. And with that, we have the promise of what God has done, the promise of what he is doing, and the promise of what he will do one day. Would you sing this closing song with as our team leads us?
Every breath that I am.
God stirred something within you, or maybe you prayed a prayer, maybe you just simply said, God, I want to be yours. We have a prayer team at the front after every single service that would love to pray with you, encourage you, and share with you more about what it looks like to follow Jesus. And as you go today, may you leave this place filled with the Spirit. May you leave this place with the power and the love and the holiness of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.